Well, I'm here with Robert Bruce. He is a mystic, a healer, an author, a workshop facilitator, and an expert on out-of-body experiences. Welcome here.
Thank you very much, Robert, for
agreeing
to be interviewed. This is basically his classic book. It's called Astral Dynamics, and it's essentially an encyclopedia on how to have out-of-body experiences. And if you are a beginner with this subject, I totally recommend you getting this book. It's
an out-of-body experience is best defined as an experience you have outside of your body. There are varying gradients of that. For example, a lucid dream is said to be experienced inside of your own mind. But if you look at the dynamics of the universe and how it works and how everything is connected and everything is energy, inside of your mind is another, a complete universe. It is not a small place, or it's not a minor place, or a place which is not important. An astral projection is better defined as an out-of-body experience, because you have the experience during the exit of leaving your physical body. It's a very visceral experience of leaving your physical body and having an experience exterior to your physical body. Whether this is just walking, floating around your house, you can't walk in the astral, you don't have legs per se, so you tend to float around. Floating around your house, or flying around your neighborhood, or anywhere in the world, it's a very noticeable thing that you are separate from your body. But there are many, many grains of astral projection which can take you out of reality, away from reality, into the astral planes and other dimensions which bear little or no resemblance to the real physical. My first astral projection experiences, my first out-of-body experiences began when I was about 4 years of age. I vividly remember buzzing, whole body vibrations, rapid heartbeat, but very, very light and comfortable. I was 4 years old, floating up out of my body and floating in the same position, feet first, like my whole bed was coming with me, floating through my bedroom, out of my bedroom, down the stairways and the hallway, and floating through the house feet first. And that was my very first memory of an out-of-body experience. Very, very real. And after that, I had many, many hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of out-of-body experiences. And over the years of growing up as a child, I learned to get around in the astral. I learned to fly, working these things out for myself. I mentioned this to my family, and they didn't really know what I was talking about. Although my mother had a bit of a clue, she had out-of-body experiences as well. But yeah, that was my first experiences where I started at the age of four. Well, the preparation you need to travel out-of-body depends a lot upon your own energy body makeup and your type of personality. You could say your personality type. My early experiences with astral projection were involved no technique at all per se. After my first spontaneous experiences, I would just think about coming out of my body and how I had done recently, floated near the ceiling, and I'd think about being out of my body, and I would just slip out, a little bit of whole body vibrations, very light, a little bit of racing heartbeat activity, which isn't not your physical heart, it's your heart energy centre. And I would just slip out of body with no technique whatsoever. And all through my childhood and teens, this would happen to me. It faded away in my later teens, and then I rediscovered astral projection when my parents became interested in spiritual matters when I was about 16. And I was exposed to a lot of discussion and talk about things like astral projection and energy work and clairvoyance and things like that. And my mother gave me a book to read when I was about 18 by Lobsang Rampa, an early metaphysical author, quite prolific, I should say. And the book was called, I think, You Forever, and it was a little goldmine of metaphysical techniques, how to use clairvoyance, how to astral project. And I followed his methods. Now, compared to when I was a child, it was quite a different thing learning how to project as an adult. I needed to learn how to put myself into a deeply relaxed state, physically and mentally, which would be called an altered state of consciousness or trance state. And that took me months of practice. And then the astral projection technique itself is what I call, the one I learned from Lobsang Rampa, I call the point shift technique, which is imagining and feeling yourself as existing one or two yards in front of or above your physical body and holding that new perspective to trigger an astral projection. And that was the first technique I learned to use. It was very difficult to learn and very, very difficult to have an astral projection when I first learned how to induce it in the awake state. But it was achievable, and I built on my early successes and got better at it. Years later, when I started to study astral projection in earnest, which was in my late 20s, early 30s, which would be about over 20 years ago, I discovered a method I call body awareness tactile imaging. And this is a method for manipulating the energy body, for stimulating at the energy body and its energy centers, which are also called chakras. And I developed this method after I discovered the internet, and which was about 1990. And very early in the piece, I was spending time on news groups concerning astral projection and out-of-body experience. And I came across a number of blind people who'd been blind since birth who had spontaneous astral projections. And they were looking for an astral projection technique so they could induce them. Now, because they had been blind since birth, they did not know sight. So visualization was useless to them. Now, as all astral projection techniques and most spiritual techniques, energy work techniques, are based upon visualization, they were stumped. I thought about this at length, and looking at what I had to work with, I decided to experiment with the sense of touch, as that was highly developed in non-sighted people. And I had the idea that came to me was that if these people could feel their arms reaching up without physically moving and feel themselves climbing a rope or a ladder hand over hand, that would be enough to trigger the astral projection reflex, which triggers an out-of-body experience. And I experimented with that, and it was amazingly effective. I was out of my body in a few minutes. It took from start to finish. I mean, from the time I lay down in my bed to getting out was 5 minutes maximum. And multiple exits later, I helped these young men and wrote articles on it, teaching it to other people. It was very, very effective. The tactile imaging developed much later. I discovered that I could use this same method of feeling yourself moving to stimulate the energy body directly. And the principles, which I now understand very well, are that if you hold a point of awareness in your body, say, for example, in the center of your palm of your hand, if you focus your attention there, give it a little scratch, and feel the residual sensation you cause there. And if you focus your attention there, the nerves in your physical body charge up, ready to move. Now, but you don't move your physical body, you actually move your point of awareness through the body, backwards and forwards. So the nerves in the physical body are continually charging and discharging. It's causing quite a lot of bioelectrical activity. if you move your awareness up and down through the hand, for example, which is the first demonstration exercise I give when I teach this. And what happens here, the electrolyte activity you cause by doing that, it stimulates not only the physical body and its nerves, but beneath the physical body is the energy body, the subtle template beneath the physical. This electrical activity you're causing directly stimulates the subtle body and allows you to stimulate it into higher levels of activity, to move energy through your body. And if you apply this action to the site of a primary energy center, for example, the brow center or third eye in the forehead, you will activate it, because it stimulates this center directly. And it is far superior than any visualization-based technique could be. And, for example, the most common method for stimulating an energy center today, taught in New Age places, is to visualize a little door opening over the site of your energy centers, or a little curtain opening. And that center is now deemed to be open, and you work your way through your centers, and then you're asked to close these, because it is said to be a bad thing to leave your energy centers open, so you are asked to close them. Now, those methods using visualization are very obtuse and ineffective. And also, the thought of closing an energy center after you have activated it is in question, because in my experience working with energy is, if you reverse the action that you use to stimulate an energy center with a hope of closing it, you will not deactivate it, you will cause further stimulation. So if you are using this action to open the brow center and you change that to a closing action to close the energy center, further stimulation will result. The only effect you will have by using visualization to close an energy center is for your intention. The intention will help to deactivate it, but it will not deactivate it. Energy centers begin to deactivate the moment you break relaxation discipline, the moment you stand up, speak, open your eyes, move around, eat food, drink. They will deactivate on their own. If they do not deactivate, if one of your centers stays active, and you will feel a throbbing sensation in the center that is still active, it is active for a reason. And that will usually be that you have cleared a blockage in your energy body, and that blockage relates to an area, a storage area in your energy body, which is depleted. And when you remove the blockage, energy will flow into that area until it is repleted, and then the activity will go away. In order to induce an astral projection, it is an enormous help, apart from achieving a deeply relaxed state, a physical state and a deeply relaxed mental state, to stimulate your energy body directly. And my work on energy work with my New Energy Warriors treatise, which is an online tutorial free for downloading, and my new book, which will be out in June 2007, called Energy Work, The Secret of Healing and Spiritual Development, teach you how to stimulate your energy body. It is an enormous help to stimulate the energy body, to remove blockages, to excite the energy body as high as you possibly can, including stimulating the primary energy centers of the body. That heightened level of energy activity makes it much, much easier to leave the physical body mind in a powerful, stable projection, to generate a powerful projected double. And the more power you have in the projected double, and in this process, the more powerful the memory will be when it is downloaded. It gives you a lot more power and ability in the astral dimension, and it gives you a much more powerful memory when you return to the physical body mind to reintegrate. Well done. The projectable double is also called the astral body. There are varying manifestations of it. When you project out of your body deliberately or spontaneously, you are aware of having a body. Now, in actual fact, you don't really have a body. You're a point of consciousness, a little piece of energy that is leaving your physical body. But you have a habit inside of us, psychologically, very, very ingrained. We have habits like the habit of gravity, which affects us during astral projection. We have a habit of having a body, the image of a body in our mind. So when you project out a body, an image of your body is created by the habit of having a body. And you will see it if you look for it. I mean, you are just aware of having a body. You don't see it while you're projecting. But if you look down and look at your hands, you will see it. Not quite in the same way as you would normally. I mean, if you look at your hands, you hold them up and look at them, they will melt rapidly, like white ice under a blowtorch. It'll rapidly melt away. It's an amazing phenomenon. We're not really sure why they melt. And if you look away and look back, the hands are back to normal again, but they'll start melting again. Now, there was something about observing the image of your body during an astral projection which causes it to break down and seem to melt. We're not really sure why. I think it's the act of observation that causes the problem. But the for all intents and purposes, you have a subtle template. Now, this is a more workable way of looking at it. You have a subtle template, like an energy body, which overlays your physical body. And when you have an astral projection, this ghost-like copy of yourself exits out of your body. You're aware of your arms coming out, your legs coming out, your head coming out, and different parts of your body leaving the physical body. And this projectable double can take many forms. It can be a real-time double existing in the real world. It can be your astral double existing in the astral planes. But yeah, I'm basically saying the same thing here. You perceive yourself. So it is an amazing phenomenon that is incredibly important to understanding astral projection and what happens during an astral projection. When you project out of your physical body, and the physical body I define as your physical body / mind, your body mind. When you project a subtle copy out of that, the instant your subtle copy starts to misalign with the physical body mind, some people feel it here, a distinct click at that point. Your mind splits into two identical copies. The original copy of your mind, memory and spirit never leaves your physical body while it lives, with the partial exception of a near-death experience. The copy, your projectable double or projected double that leaves is an energy copy of your original. Now, this exists and operates independently of the physical body mind. Both can be conscious and functioning simultaneously. For example, you can be in your bed or your chair, having an astral projection, you're deeply relaxed, you feel the energy tingling, buzzing sensations of an astral projection, you start to rise out of your body, and then the sensations go away. At that instant point there, when they go away, the astral body, the projectable double, has come out, and because it is split from you, you're no longer privy to the memories of the experience that is happening. It is happening independently. It's like the RAM in a computer. And so the physical body mind is then has felt the energy exit sensations, but now feels disempowered, partially or fully paralyzed, tired, and will start going to sleep, usually. The astral body, on the other hand, is out exploring the astral world, operating independently. And this highlights the problem with astral projection, because there would not be a problem if the original copy of mind and memory left the physical body, because if you have an astral projection, that goes out, holds the memories of the experience in it. When that re-enters the physical body, the memories re-enter with it. But that's not what happens. That would be way too easy and illogical if you look at how the body and the mind and the spirit and the energy body work. What happens is the astral body functions independently, stores experience memories independently, and when the astral body returns to the physical body to reintegrate with it, it must then somehow download these subtle memories of the astral projection experience into the physical body mind so they can be recalled at a conscious and recallable level of memory. Now, if this does not happen, and it usually does not happen, the astral projection experience is completely lost. The memories download into subconscious, unconscious levels of memory, which are generally unrecallable, even by hypnosis. Herein lies both the problem and the solution. If you realize that the astral body operates independently during astral projection, your physical body mind can also operate independently. The problem is downloading these memories into recallable levels of experience memory, which normally does not happen. Now, this is the problem and the solution. The solution is to understand what is happening and try and enhance this process to work with it to increase the likelihood of recalling these memories. And I discovered many years ago the two key points to helping to recall astral projection memories is, one is to make a deliberate re-entry, diving back into the physical body with high emotion, literally passionately shouting your success. So you dive in to your physical body shouting Geronimo, using a key word or two out of your experience. For example, if you watched your hands melt, you would dive back in saying, "My hands melted!" really passionately. And that maximizes the chances of recalling the memory, because with the mind split effect, you have two memory streams for the same time period. One in the physical body mind, maybe just laying there experiencing being tired and falling asleep, but it is a memory which is automatically stored by the mind. And if you have a memory of just wandering around in the astral, no real passion or power in that, this will usually disappear, and the memory of laying there trying to get to sleep will be all you will vaguely remember. But if you have a passionate memory with a lot of power and strength behind it, you dive back into your body savagely shouting your success, you will maximize the chance of making that final wrinkle in the memory and recalling it. The other point of note here, a key to recalling an astral projection, is to keep your astral projection, particularly your early ones, very, very short. What happens when you exit your physical body mind? The astral body is out experiencing the astral plane. The physical body mind feels some exit sensations. They go away instant of the mind split, and it thinks it has failed the projection. It is now semi or partially paralyzed, lethargic, tired, drained of energy, because half of its energy at least is now existing in energy of consciousness is now existing in the astral body out here. So it's been disempowered. It will feel sleepy and tired. Now, once the physical body mind falls asleep, it will start drifting down into deeper and deeper levels of sleep very quickly. Now, once the level of sleep gets to a certain point, the delicate energy sensations which herald the re-entry of the astral double are not sufficient to awaken and arouse and awaken the physical body mind. I mean, sometimes if you're tired, an alarm clock and a bit of shaking won't wake you up if you're tired. So what happens is then the astral double tries to get back into its physical body, but if the physical body is not in a state where it can be aroused by the return, it will stay asleep. The astral body won't be able to arouse it, and it won't be able to get back in. It's locked down into the astral for the night. And if you add to this that the astral body senses are different to the physical body senses, and if your astral body feels your physical body, it will feel cold and clammy and dead-like. So you will often get the impression that your physical body has died, which can be traumatizing if you don't understand this phenomenon. Now, what you do in a case like that is to just go and explore the astral and enjoy yourself until your physical body wakes up and calls you back in. The reason this happens is because in order to have an astral projection of any kind, your physical body needs to be on the edge of sleep. It needs to be in the process of falling asleep which releases the astral body into the astral dimension. Now, in order to reintegrate with the physical body-mind, the physical body-mind needs to be in the process of arousing and awakening to reintegrate. Now, so those things must agree in order for a successful reintegration. So understanding these things means if you keep the early projections very short, 30 seconds out of body, look at your hands, watch them melt, or look around the room, see what it's like to be in the astral dimension, and then dive back into your physical body, savagely shouting you a success. What happens here is you have consciously induced an astral projection with no break in consciousness. You've experienced the exit, you've experienced what it's like to be in the astral dimension, you've experienced the re-entry, which is a tingly, buzzing sort of experience similar to the exit. And all this has occurred with no break in consciousness, which makes the experience of astral projection extremely real, and this will change your belief systems and the way you look at life. It's to achieve an out-of-body experience, to induce one from the awake state. There are many of them around. It's actually surprisingly easy to have an astral projection. The technique is secondary to, exit technique you use is secondary to recapturing the memory by making a deliberate entry and maximizing your chances of downloading that memory. Because if you don't save that memory from the astral body into conscious mind, it's just as if it never happened, which is what normally happens every time you sleep. You have astral projections every time you sleep and you lose the memory because you are either asleep during the projection or it has failed to download. To have an out-of-body experience from start to finish, I recommend a chair be used rather than a bed, or at the very least, you are propped up in bed with several pillows, so you're about a 45-degree angle. It is easier to project from that position than it is from a prone position when it's laying down. Then what you need to do to induce an astral projection is you need to deeply relax the physical body and the mind. You need to relax the mind and to reduce the occurrence of thought words in your mind. Thought words, speaking words in your mind is what causes the big problem during the exit. So you relax the mind and relax the thinking process, deeply relax the physical body. And what you're trying to do here is you're trying to emulate a light sleep state while still staying awake. This is called an altered state or a trance state. And you can experience what this is like if you've never had one. When you're laying down to sleep, hold your arms up above the bed and while you are falling asleep. And when you start to drift off to sleep, your hands will fall and jerk you awake. If they fall and you fall asleep, hold your arms completely off the bed so that when you start drifting off to sleep, your arms will drop and really pull you awake again. And by doing that, that will allow you to hover on the edge of sleep, but the liminal state between sleeping and waking, that little tightrope. You can hover there and experience that state for longer than you normally would do. But to achieve an astral projection, you need to achieve something approaching that, a deeply relaxed state, mentally and physically relaxed. And then in that state, you need to exteriorize your consciousness, your sense of body awareness in some way. And the simple ways to do that are to, one, is to, without physically moving, imagine and feel your arms reaching up and climbing a rope or climbing a ladder and feel that action happening. Don't physically move. And keep that up, and that will help induce an astral projection. Another way is to imagine and feel yourself floating up out of your body or moving out of your body and being in another part of the room. They're very, very simple exit methods, but they are very, very effective. You can also imagine and feel in your body awareness yourself rolling to the side, rolling out of bed. Anything which takes you using a natural physical action to move you out of your physical body without physically moving, that tends to generate the projectable double, which causes an astral projection to occur. And when an astral projection occurs, the typical symptoms are whole body vibrations, your whole body will buzz, Your heart will race very, very rapidly. Your heart center, I should say, it is not your physical heart. Your heartbeat will not change at all, but it will feel like your heart is beating hundreds of beats per minute, and it can be frighteningly strong. You have to trust and know that this is your heart chakra, your heart center, not your physical heart. The whole body vibrations can be mild or they can be incredibly strong, as if you were laying strapped to an industrial vibrator machine. And you also get a continual falling sensation. That's another common sensation. The falling sensation you will probably have experienced many, many times. If you remember the times that you've been in bed and you've been laying there falling asleep, and all of a sudden you feel a falling sensation and you catch the side of the bed. It's an instinctive reaction for the hands to come out and catch ourselves because we feel a falling sensation. Now what's happening there when that falling sensation occurs, your astral body, your projectable double is starting to come out of your physical body. The astral projection is beginning. And it's in the case with the falling sensation, it's beginning as you were falling asleep, and there's very, very few other sensations. You slip out in a moment with hardly noticing it, and it is that quick. If your mind is quiet and there are no thought words there and your body is falling asleep, astral projection happens with virtually no sensation whatsoever. You just slip out. But if your mind is awake and engaged, that throws a big spanner in the works and the vibrations intensify and the rapid heartbeat sensation intensifies, the falling sensation intensifies. One other important thing to remember about astral projection is when the exit begins and you feel the vibrations, is to keep your mind clear of thought words. Do not think, do not get excited during the entire exit. Once the exit is over and you've buzzed out of your body, you can then think again. But keep yourself clear, no emotions while you're getting out. Otherwise, it will make the exit very, very difficult or stop the exit completely. A surge of excitement energy feels like you just won the lotto, you just won $10 million. When you start coming out of your body consciously, that surge of energy will throw you out of the relaxed state you need to be, and it will abort the exit. So you need to stay very, very calm, very, very collected, no thought words, focus on your projection exit, climbing the rope or the ladder or whatever you're doing, and just feel yourself coming out of your body and let it happen. Once you're out of body, you can think, but do not get excited because you can tend to abort the projection. The other thing you need to do, you need to very, very quickly get at least 20 feet away from your physical body once you have exited. Within 20 feet, there was a very strong reactionary field between the physical body and the astral body. There is a silver cord, they call it, which attaches the navel of the physical body to the astral body. Sometimes that will be seen. If you look down, it looks like a rope made of static, like the static on the television. And sometimes you'll see it, sometimes you won't, but it is there. And there is a strong connection. There are actually several cords connecting the physical body to the astral body. And there is a lot of information and energy flows between these cords from the physical body mind to the astral body. And emotion and excitement are some of the things which flow. So if you are, this is particularly strong, this activity, within 20 feet. So if you get a little bit excited or your physical body mind gets a little bit worried or anxious, that will tend to pull you back into your physical body mind very quickly, in a split second. This reduces your distance, so 20 feet out and further, you will tend to get sucked back into your physical body less easily than you will do if you were closer. Years ago, I found it necessary to coin a new term, which is the real time zone, to explain aspects of astral projection. The reason is, when you exit your physical body mind and you find yourself in an exact copy of this world, you are like a ghost in the physical world. I define that as being the real time zone. It being in physical reality as reality happens in real time. Now, Beyond that is the astral plane. We have an astral projection. Now, the astral planes bear little to no resemblance to the physical dimension, the here and now. The only other possibility of describing the real time zone is to call it the etheric zone, and to call that an etheric projection, whereas I call it a real time projection into the real zone. And I thought that using the Eastern term etheric and etheric projection was confusing, as the etheric body is also used as a term for the energy body. So I thought it was needlessly confusing. A more descriptive Western term worked much better. So in closing, the real-time zone is an astral projection or an out-of-body experience where you experience the world in real-time, separate from your body, of course, as reality happens. An astral projection is experienced in another dimensional reality that bears no resemblance to physical reality, or very little. Some astral planes, starting with the third astral plane, is like a gigantic shopping mall. There are millions of people thronging everywhere with a very one- to two-dimensional level of consciousness, which means they're very focused on what they're doing. There's a lot of people standing around asleep. These are projectors from the Earth. And you will walk 100 yards down a mall-type, shopping market-type scenario, and then you walk out into a park, and there are a couple of skyscrapers there, a beach over there. It's like reality in the physical world, all mixed up into what seems to be a nonsensical formula. There's bits and pieces of the world. Imagine if you break the world up into little pieces like a jigsaw puzzle, and each one is like a few hundred yards across, and then you jumble these all up, like shuffling cards in a deck, and then you throw them on the floor at random. That's kind of what you end up with in the third astral plane. It's sort of a big higgledy-piggledy mess, created, you could say, by the mind, conscious and subconscious mind, and dreams of humankind. Further to this, above the third astral plane, you begin to perceive much more structure, much more order than the jumbled up lower astral planes. And by lower, they're not negative in a way, they're just a lower order of existence. Above that, in the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh astral planes, you find much more structure, much more beauty, much more order, and a lot more, much more higher consciousness. You will encounter beings of light, angels, spirits, all kinds of things up there. Whereas in the lower astral planes, you tend to encounter mainly other projectors that don't know they're projecting, very one, two-dimensional, and it's not a really worthwhile place to explore. It's just confusing. How does astral projection fit in with spiritual development? Well, astral projection, spontaneous astral projection, normal sleep projection, I mean, we project every time we sleep into the astral dimension. This is a natural process, and it could be said that once a day, twice a day, I'm not sure the exact timing, at least once a day, you could say that the center of the universe gathers up all the projected doubles in the world, human, animal, everything projects. And these are processed, in a way, together, and then we are put back down onto the Earth again. I discuss this at length in my book, Astral Dynamics, where I discuss the phenomena I call the astral wind, which is this daily process where all the astral bodies are gathered up and then put back down to Earth again. This is an astral process. The spiritual connection is, what is the ability to have an astral projection will usually occur spontaneously, and you will have some astral projection experience spontaneously, like I did when I was a child, and that will usually give you an interest in it. But I think having astral projection experience, out-of-body experience, is an indicator that your spiritual energies are at a higher level, or at a different vibration from people who don't have astral projections. But now, inducing an astral projection is one, the act of learning. Everything you have to learn to induce an astral projection causes energy body and spiritual development. You stimulate the energy body, you stimulate the energy centers, which are a big part of your being, and that stimulation causes an evolution to occur inside. It, in a way, it wakes up the energy body and the energy centers. And having an astral projection in the awake state causes some major changes to occur in the energy body, which cause it to evolve. So in that aspect alone, energetically, astral projection will cause spiritual evolution. Now, beyond that, being able to induce an astral projection and explore the astral planes and astral spiritual realms is spiritually evolving, because that gives you the ability to visit spiritual realms, interact with higher spiritual beings, ask questions, have experience, a sobering experience, which you can bring back to your physical body and apply to your life. So in a spiritual sense, it is enormously rewarding to be able to have astral projection. Astral projection is also a fascinating thing to do. To have an astral projection is mind-blowingly interesting. Whether you're in the astral dimension or projecting around your hometown at night, it is a lot of fun. It's very, very interesting. And for fun, for an example, projecting in the daylight is a huge blast to do. If you can imagine being able to fly like Superman, to be able to zoom around your hometown, to sit on a cloud, to fly up into the air and sit on the wing of a passing jet airplane, anything you want to do is you can do in the astral. And the daytime projection is also a totally non-threatening. If you have a fear of astral projection, I'd recommend you project during daylight hours, where it is totally non-threatening and enjoyable. But you know, astral projection is beyond human life, beyond existence. It's been said that astral projection is, it has been said that physical existence, a physical dimension, is less than 1% of the greater reality. And I think this is true. And the ability to experience an astral projection allows you to explore a lot more of the greater reality, the other 99% of reality that we normally perceive. Energy work and astral projection also have an amazing effect on the spiritual body, the subtle body. Eckhart Tolle says in his wonderful works, the first book is called The Power of Now, which I highly recommend. He talks about body awareness and about focusing your awareness in your body. And when you do this, it will cause a tingling response in your energy body. Now, my work is very, very similar, in that you focus your awareness in your body and you give that focus of awareness movement, which stimulates the energy body and the physical body far more effectively and allows you to come to grips with it better. What you're actually doing here, apart from moving energy and self-healing, energy works wonderful for self-healing. If you've got an injured wrist, for example, you pass a lot of energy through that and give it a lot of energetic attention. It will heal faster. But energy work, stimulating the whole energy body, stimulates your connection with your higher self, with what Tolle calls the now. It stimulates your connection with your higher aspects, and by stimulating that connection, by becoming more aware of your body, your higher aspects become more connected with you. In a way, you could say they show more interest in you and they start to work with you, and they help you to evolve as a spiritual being, as a human being, and also for healing yourself. And yeah, it's an amazing thing to do. Working with your energy body is fascinating, it's addictive, and it is spiritually evolving. I agree with Eckhart Tolle in The Power of Now when he says that connecting with your physical body and being aware of your physical body is causes spiritual activity and spiritual evolution to occur inside of you. Further to Tolle's work in the power of now, which is pure Zen, by the way. These are ancient teachings rediscovered by a Western mind, and brilliantly done. But they are pure Zen. And Tolle says, and he rightly so, the power of now, the ability to exist in the now, is part of that involves becoming intensely aware of your physical body and your environment, or the environment around you now, and what you are doing, to be fully engaged in your activities in the now, to be fully present and engaged in the place you are, where your body is, what's happening. Eckhart Tolle in The Power of Now, a brilliant book, he talks about focusing your awareness in your body and how this causes a tingling flow of spiritual energy, and how this connects you with the now, which connects you with your higher self, to use my term for that process. It's one of the benefits of body awareness, tactile imaging, which is the type of energy work that I teach. It allows you to come very, very deeply and intimately connected with your own physical body, to become engaged in your physical body, which causes a reaction in your higher self, in what Tolle calls the now, which is very healing, very energizing, and very spiritually evolving. And further to Tolle's work, in the now, I find fascinating. These are things which I have thought about and taught for many years without being able to express them properly until I'd read The Power of Now. But if you look at what we do as people, we exist not just in the present, we exist, a large part of us exists in the past and in the future. A large part of our energy exists in the past and the future. We have all the baggage of the past, all this emotional baggage, all these things that people have done to us, things that have happened to us, bad experiences, good experiences, fantasies. And a large part of our consciousness exists in the past, and sometimes that can affect us very badly and can really mess us up. A lot of people also live into the future. They worry about the future, what's going to happen to them, what's going to happen to the world, are they going to have enough money for retirement, is their health going to hold up, will they get sick? And this is... this expends a lot of conscious energy from the now, from you in the now. And Tolle has a way of reclaiming this by pulling the energy back from the past and the future. And he does this by teaching you to exist in the now. And by the now, it means in this very, very moment. There is only this moment, right here and now. And a good question to ask a person who has problems with the past or the future is to ask them, what problem do you have at this very moment while I'm talking to you? What problem do you have now? And everybody says the same thing. Well, right now at this moment, I don't have a problem. But I had all this happen to me in the past, and it really messes me up when I think about it. And all this stuff might happen in the future, and I'm worried about that. But right here in the now, sitting here talking to you, listening to me, you don't have a problem at all. Nothing. You are focused, engaged with me, and we don't have a problem, and you never have a problem in the now. Now, the point of this is to exist in the now. If you're going to hold this moment, to be fully present and engaged in this moment, and you hold that permanently, life moves by you. You stay in the now, life passes by you like a river, and you move forward in the now. But you're always in this moment, in the now, fully engaged with what's happening right now. The past, you dump the past completely. You just drop it and leave it behind. We learn from the past historically, and you know that influences how we think today and how our actions today. And tomorrow will take care of itself. We know this. We will deal with the future as it arises. But the most important thing about living and being a human being is to be here and now, right here, right now, engaged with whatever you're doing. Every moment of 24/7, whatever you're doing, whether you're at work, home, enjoying yourself, anything you're doing, be present, be engaged, be in the now. And you find that erodes, it starts to dissolve what Tolle calls the pain body. And the pain body is a thought form copy of ourselves, which exists superimposed over us, which is created through the act of living since we were a child. Now, the thought form aspect of this is my way of explaining this. This is what Tolle calls the now. And this thought form body is like a part of us, but it's the worst part of us. It's a part of us which clutters our mind with thoughts that we don't want, little reminders, little worries from the past, worries about the future. And simply observing this will start dismantling it, start dissolving it. If you, for example, if you stop what you're doing right now, stop what you're doing, close your eyes, and watch for your, the next thought that arises in your mind. Don't do anything to it, just observe it. And if another thought appears after that, observe it as well. Just for 30 seconds, close your eyes and observe the next thoughts that arise in your mind. And see what happens. The first thing you'll notice after doing that exercise is that your mind slows down, it quietens. The next thoughts don't appear very quickly. They will eventually, but they don't appear quickly. The whole thing slows down because you're watching it. Now, think of this. If you are in your mind down here watching this, and then thoughts appear, they appear up here. It's like in a different part of your mind. They're appearing in a different level of your mind, but you're down here, this is up there. It's still inside your mind, but it's appearing from a different place from where you are here in the now. You that are thinking, listening to me, being. The you that observes inside of your mind and waited for the next thoughts to appear. It's a different aspect of you. The part of you, the reminder pad, which is also called monkey mind by some people. This is the part which acts on its own. This is the part which to meditate and achieve all the states of consciousness, including astral projection, you need to quieten that down and train it so it'll be quiet. So you can then achieve a nice, deeply relaxed state in order to astral project and do various other things. But this part of you is actually another aspect of you, like a thought form. And the act of observing that starts dismantling it. But if you observe the past or the future, if you look at that and pay too much attention to it, you will feed it. So observing the past won't work in diffusing it, in dismantling it. What does work is if you focus in the now and stay fully present with whatever you're doing. You're eating, you're engaged with eating. You're talking to somebody, you engage with the conversation. If you're watching television, you engage with watching your program. Whatever you're doing, stay fully focused in the now and don't fantasize about the past or worry about the future. Just let it go and focus on the now. And this worrisome aspect of you, this thought form pain body, will start to dissolve. And if you stay in the now long enough, it will completely dissolve. And all that energy which is taking away from you, energy which you need to empower your consciousness, to empower your spiritual growth, to empower your astral projections, everything about yourself, all of that energy from the past and the future comes back to you and evolves you. And this is, I cannot explain the power of now in a short interview like this, but I recommend that you read the book or get the audio book and listen to it. It is amazing to you.